This is CliffCentral.com. Animal Central on CliffCentral.com.
Hello and welcome to Animal Central on here on CliffCentral.com. This is the only show in South Africa dedicated to animals and the people that love them. I'm your host, Ainsley Hay, and it is a beautiful day today, and I have a very, very full studio. But I'm going to chat about that later with my lovely guests. So last week I mentioned that I'm going to start a weekly award for the bad animal news of the week and the good animal news of the week. And these awards are either going to be the Jackass Penguin Award, which is for the bad news of the week, or the Angelfish Award, which is for the good news of the week. So I also asked my dear listeners to submit their nominations. No one has done that, so it's up to me again this week to select. So this week, the Jackass Penguin Award is going to go to Groupon South Africa for yet again encouraging the abomination that is cub petting by offering tickets at captive lion facilities where people can play and pay with them. There's a lot of huge welfare issues concerning this, and it's very easy to educate yourself on the issues. One of the easiest ways is through the campaign and documentary Blood Lion South Africa. So Groupon South Africa, please catch a wake up and smell the roses and start promoting ethical animal uses. So then the Angelfish Award of the week is actually very, very special. I'm going to keep you all waiting on this until after the halfway break to discuss, because I'm cruel like that. But please do feel free to give us a call on 0861 555 189, or you can get us on Twitter, which is at cliffcentral.com. Our Facebook is Cliff Central, and then you can send us a message on WeChat as well. All that you do is you tap connect and then message to show at Cliff Central. Looking to hear from you. So today is a horsey show at long last. I think I have been denying the horses and the horsey people of South Africa, because I've been speaking far too much about dogs and wildlife. So I'm very, very excited to have the guests that I have in today. First off, we have the lovely ladies from the Lipizzanas of South Africa. So there's dear Judy Virtue, who is one of the directors of the Lipizzanas. Welcome, Judy.
Thank you.
And then we have Bronwyn Taylor, who is a senior rider from the Lippies. Welcome. Hi. Hello. And then Marina Sneyman, who you are the breeding manager.
That's right, yes. Hi.
Yay. Well, welcome, ladies. I'm very happy to have you here. I think the Lipizzanas, it's such a part of our culture, and as Joburg people especially, you know, it's been around. How many years has the Lippies been around in South Africa for, Judy?
Ainsley, they first came here from Europe in 1948.
Oh, wow.
So we've been here a very, very long time.
Sure.
They are very special, as you say.
Yes.
Because we follow the traditions of the world-renowned Spanish riding school in Vienna.
Yes.
And we are the only Lipizzana school in the world that follows those traditions. And we have some established links with the wonderful people in Vienna over many years. So, as you say, it is very much part of our wonderful South African cultural history that we have these magnificent white Lipizzanas here, who perform every Sunday for the delight of the public.
And let me tell you, listeners, the show is unbelievable. I was lucky enough to go just before Christmas. I went to their final. So you have a Christmas festival, was it?
Yes. That is, in fact, a very, very, very special time on our calendar. We have 12 Christmas shows generally in December, together with the Welsh Malvoice Choir of South Africa. We're generally sold out. It is the most marvelous event, because it is a mixture which is suitable for the whole family. It's the choir singing carols and inviting the audience to sing. It's the riders doing wonderful things on these amazing horses, and some Christmassy things as well.
And their outfits were spectacular as well.
Weren't they just? Yes. And this year we were very fortunate to have one of our student riders who's a very accomplished ballerina.
Oh, yes, that was
so
brilliant.
She did her ballerina number in the middle of the arena, and we had four of our beautiful white stallions performing round her to the tune of the Sugar Plum Fairy.
It was quite.
And then, of course, there's Father Christmas.
Yes.
Who comes in the carriage, and the kids come, and we give the kids gifts and sweets and everything. So it is the most amazing show and a highlight in Johannesburg's entertainment calendar every year.
And truly entertaining. I must say, the way that the riders and the choreography and everything was put together, it was honestly a highlight of my year last year. So congratulations to all of you. And if listeners, if you haven't been, you really should. It's a wonderful day out, as you say, Judy. Every Sunday now, it is open to the public. So it's definitely something that I would strongly recommend that you do, even if you have kids, don't have kids. It's very, very entertaining.
Ainsley, one important thing is that because the horses work so very hard over Christmas, They've been on holiday.
Oh, good.
So they haven't been white horses for 3 weeks because they've been in the paddock.
Oh, lovely.
So they're a bit brown. So they've been rolling, having fun and chilling, and all the riders are back at the centre, and we have a really good tidying up session.
Yes.
And our first performance is on the 24th of January, and the second one on the 31st of January, and these are New Year specials.
Okay.
So these are half price tickets.
Oh.
Booked through CompuTicket.
Oh, so brilliant.
We hope lots of people come and take advantage of our New Year's specials.
That's
starting Sunday the 24th of January.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. So speaking about the riders, Bronwyn, tell us a bit about how long have you been involved with the Lippies? How did you start getting involved?
I've been at the Lippies for just over a year.
Okay.
I was a bit of a special rider that came in like a changing period.
Okay.
Generally what you would do is we have a student program
mm-hmm.
that we run for 10 months,
mm-hmm.
starts at the beginning of February.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who would like to join the Lippies starts with a student program.
Oh.
So we teach you everything that you need to know. You come for an interview beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you can basically walk, trot, and canter, stay on, you're welcome.
Oh.
And no one will be turned away. Anyone will come.
Wow.
So the student program is for 10 months, and mm-hmm. you do everything from learning to bandage, learning about the tack, learning about the breeding, everything to do with the center, as well as riding. So you get your own personal lunge lessons from the riders.
Mm-hmm.
You get to ride every horse. Oh. You do everything that we would do at the center.
That's amazing.
So you have exams throughout the whole 10 months
mm-hmm.
And assignments. And then at the end of the 10 months, you have a practical exam and a written exam that you have to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And we do everything to help you pass that. It's nothing too hectic.
Mm-hmm.
We just make sure that you're able to do everything.
Okay.
And then at the end of that, you can choose if you would like to stay on or not.
Mm-hmm.
You have a meeting with the directors, and then you become part of the team if they offer it to you.
That's amazing. So that student program, is that full-time then?
Yes, it's full-time.
Okay.
Our hours at the center are from 9 to half past 12.
Mm-hmm.
From a Tuesday to a Friday. Saturday, we go in the mornings to ride the horses. It's their off day. We take them on out rides. And then Sunday is our performance. So we're there from 8 until when the public leave. And Mondays are off for the horses and for us.
Oh, that's fantastic. Sure. So how many horses on average are you riding a day nowadays as a senior rider?
At the moment, I have 5.
Sure.
We have allocated horses.
Okay.
So I have my specific 5, and each rider has their certain number. We do sometimes swap and change depending on what we need to do for performance and if anyone's off or sick.
Wow.
It's busy. We ride a lot.
That's amazing. And So what age do the Lippies get broken in? And then sort of how long would you say the training process takes from them from breaking in until their sort of first performance?
They come to the center at 4.5.
Okay.
They're given a little bit of time just to settle into the new environment. And then we pretty much start working with them after about a month.
Mm-hmm.
We run them free in the indoor.
Mm-hmm.
It's very safe. It's very calm.
Mm.
For them and for us.
Mm-hmm.
We then start backing them throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
Do it slowly so that, you know, their grounding is correct.
Mm.
And then depending on each horse, it depends on their own personality and the way that they go.
Yes.
But most of our colts would then be in performance soonish into the next year.
Brilliant.
That they come.
Yeah. That's fantastic, because in the performance, you've got the different skills of the horses. So the younger horses, I love the one where they do the free run.
Yeah, that's what the colts.
That's amazing.
That's like their job for the first few months that they're there.
That was amazing to see. Really, really beautiful. So I think Bronwyn, Marina, if you want to have a chat with us about the breeding side, because that's obviously a huge part, because you breed your own horses here, which is brilliant, I think.
That's quite right. We've got a very big breeding program. We've got about 12 mares that should be covered this season, which is probably more than we've had before. We had 7 foals born this season, so that's great. The last one was actually just born on Monday.
Oh, congratulations.
And then we've got 65 horses in total.
Wow.
33 of them are the stallions at the center.
Okay.
And then we've got to have youngsters coming up, and you never know. You never know who's going to make it through all the way to the program. Bron said they started at 4.5. They actually come in at 3.5.
Okay.
So that first 6 months or so, they are spending time in the arena, getting used to the arena, basically playing like they do out on the farm, but inside the arena, so they can get used to the arena environment.
Okay.
Generally, we would introduce them to crowds on Mother's Day. It's quite a traditional thing for us.
Lovely.
They get walked into the arena. We ask the audience not to clap, because the poor little guys have never heard anything like that in their lives.
Yes.
But they get introduced to a big audience and a big sort of atmosphere.
Okay.
And then they carry on from there. And like Judy said, a lot of the horses have been on holiday now since Christmas, but some of my boys have not had much of a holiday because they've been going back and forth to the farm, visiting their wives, as I'd like to call them.
Yeah, some men may say that's not much work.
I must say that we have a stallion who had to cover two mares. He had to have a break in between, and he was absolutely finished when he continued with the second one. He wasn't going to do a third that day. He said, "Thank you very much, I'm done. Very happy to get back in the horse box and go home again." So yeah, everyone thinks it's all fun and roses, but some of those guys need a little romance tips, perhaps, if we have someone who could advise them
on how to woo a lady.
Yeah, some of the younger boys, they just need to learn a little bit of manners, but some of our older mares are quite quick to teach them.
Said,
"You know, you got to bring me flowers and do a little bit of the romancing first before you just get on there, boy." So it's quite fun to watch and quite eye-opening to some of the people that come to see it for the first time. I think they I don't know what they have in their mind, but it can be quite entertaining.
It can. That's a very, very, very appropriate way to put it. So I'd like you to tell our listeners, I don't know if all of our listeners know the little tricks about the difference between an adult Lipizzana and a foal, that there is quite a big difference.
There's a huge difference. If you go on our website, you'd soon see when you see the new photos of our foals. Most of our foals are either born black or dark brown. And then gradually they'll change to white. We've already got one who is 2 months old who's already starting to go grey.
Oh, sweet.
He comes from a mother who was grey by the time she was three.
Oh, wow. So normally
sort of between 6 and 10 they'll change depending on their bloodline, but some of them still retain a dark mane and tail for longer than that.
Okay.
We've got one of our two-year-old colts who's not going to turn white. He's going to stay brown, which is very, very special for us, because we need to traditionally have a brown stallion in residence always at the center. It's considered lucky. We do have two adults at the moment, but we're quite glad that we've got this young one coming up.
Okay.
And in fact, one of our little fillies who was born this year, I'm not quite sure if she's going to turn white either, but we can't tell at this stage. But some of them are sort of very dark brown. Some of them are absolutely black, the real black beauty. If you ever read the story or saw the program on TV as a child, we've got some of those. We've got some
beautiful,
absolutely stunning little ones. Quite cheeky. They're already sort of developing their characters. So that's quite fun to be with. But most people don't believe that that sort of horse will become our beautiful white, pure white stallion eventually.
Yeah, it is quite striking. And I mean, your stallions are just absolutely magnificent. Judy, how many have stallions have you got that are sort of actively working in the shows nowadays? Do you rotate them, or how does it work?
We have 33 stallions at the centre, and that includes some of the young colts that came last year who are just starting to run in the performance. And then, depending on their training, they will progress in various items.
Okay.
So once they've started running in a performance, then the next stage is for them to be in the young stallion routine.
Oh, yes.
Which is a very simple routine to get them used to their rider in a performance environment, where they just walk, trot and canter in big circles and straight lines. And then, you know, like the riders, the horses have a career structure as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll then say, well, these two horses look really similar.
Mm.
So we will eventually think maybe they will do a pas de deux together.
Oh, beautiful. And will you explain what a pas de deux is?
A pas de deux is two horses, and they do a performance in a mirror image of each other.
Mm.
It is a very, very beautiful thing to watch. So like everything we do at the Lipizzanas, teamwork is hugely important.
Mm.
And when you're riding, as Bronwyn will tell you, because she will tell you about riding in the quadrille, it's not just you and the horse.
Mm-hmm.
It's you and the next door horse, or the next door horse beside you. And if something happens, you've got to make a plan.
Yes.
So you need to be very competent riding in order to maintain the excellence that we strive for in our performance.
Yes.
So then they will maybe do the pas de deux.
Mm-hmm.
Then earlier on, we will look at developing talent for the airs above the ground.
Mm-hmm.
If Marina or one of the riders sees a horse in the paddock standing on its hind legs and leaping around, we think, oh, good, maybe that will do the corbett. Or if we see one horse running out in the paddock and kicking out and bucking like mad, then we say maybe he has talent for the Capriole.
Okay.
So we will then develop that talent.
Mm. And the Corbett and the Capriole are movements?
Are movements that they used to do in medieval wartime,
mm-hmm.
which are carried on as part of the Lipizzana tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as Bron will also tell you, one looks at stallions who have got very special movement and are able to be developed to perform the solo.
That is
Bron has performed the solo.
Is that the highlight?
That's the highlight.
Okay.
So Bron has performed that, so she'll tell you a little bit yes. more about that. But as Bron said earlier, it is a very, very strict program mm. from 9:30 to 12:30 mm-hmm. where certain horses are in this session with certain riders, and everything works with military precision.
Mm-hmm.
So the horses have routine.
Okay.
And they're watched every day and every week to see how they progress. Mm. And as Bron also said, we sometimes move riders around, because the philosophy is very simply that the experienced horses train the less experienced riders.
Ah.
And the experienced riders, like Bron, will take on the younger horses
okay.
who need to be trained more
okay.
correctly.
Oh, that's amazing. So, Brendan, tell us a little bit about those the solo and quadrilles and all these amazing things that you do.
All our different routines.
Yes.
Yeah, we have a few, and it depends on the performance which routines we do.
Mm-hmm.
We will always try to have every single horse in the performance.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll always have a quadrille, always, because okay. it's the highlight of the show. Young stallions.
And explain what a quadrille is.
Okay, so a quadrille is generally six riders
mm-hmm.
riding a routine together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like a dance. It's a lot harder than it looks.
I hope
we make it look easy.
No, it does not. It looks amazing.
But yeah, it's very difficult, because you are trying to work yourself. To look good, try to get your horse to look mm. as good as he can, as well as trying to make your team look good.
Mm.
So it's a lot of little corrections, a lot of talking to each other.
Okay.
We talk a lot to each other.
Ah, see, I didn't know that. So you do a good job at hiding that.
Yes, we do. It's a lot of teamwork, precision and harmony,
okay.
basically. Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. Well, it definitely comes together. So how long is the average career of a rider with the Lippies?
That's very difficult to pinpoint.
How long is a piece of string?
Yeah,
pretty much. Okay.
It depends. It's a very personal thing. It's you've got to be very, very dedicated mm. to it, and it does take a lot of your time.
Mm.
But it's totally worth it. We
yeah.
we all love it. We're very, very lucky to do what we do,
and
so,
very passionate about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, very, very passionate.
Yeah,
because it is a non-profit organization.
Mm-hmm.
We do what we can for the centre, and the centre does what it can for us.
Yes.
But everyone that's there at the moment, like, absolutely loves it. We'll be there, like...
All the time.
Yeah.
No, you can definitely see that. And, I mean, it must take so many people. It obviously does take so many people. And it's in such a beautiful condition. I mean, I'm just amazed at how you keep those horses so white. Something as little as that. And everything is just... It was such a spectacular evening. I can't praise it enough. And I used to horse ride many, many years ago. I'm actually going for my first lesson this afternoon in 10 years.
That's
and I'm very
cool.
nervous.
Don't be nervous. It's gonna be great.
I had meetings today with two other riders, and they were saying about how one fell off and cracked her head, and I'm just like, oh dear, why am I doing this again?
No, it'll be fine. You'll be fine. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, we'll hear about it next week, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But is there would you say that there's a difference between riding a Lipizzana and riding other horses? They must be quite unique. They must be quite an amazing ride. Or
they are. I mean, they're horses.
Mm.
They've got the same quirks, and okay. they try and nip you, and they try spook, and
okay.
you know, they're not perfect.
Okay.
But I think the difference with them is that they're worth. Work ethic is amazing. They will try so hard for you.
Oh, that's amazing.
A lot of people ask us how we get them to do the airs above the ground and stuff.
Yeah.
We don't force any of our horses to do anything they don't want to do.
Mm.
They offer it to us.
That's amazing.
And when you walk into the centre, everyone's like, how do you tell the difference between each horse? They all look the same. They're like little silkworms. But they're really not.
Really? You can say that.
They call them silkworms, yeah. But they're really not. They all have their individual personalities and they're all very, very special. And every single one will try their heart out for you.
That's amazing.
Which sometimes you don't often get with all horses.
Yes.
But honestly, every single horse there does his job and is happy to do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, very special.
And now, Marina, so the ladies.
Yes.
Your brood mares. So they're on a separate property too.
They're in Hartebeesfort. It's near to Hartebeesfort now, near the Orient Hotel.
Okay.
They're on an old cattle farm. So it's not this big special thing that people think of a stud farm. They're on an old farm that we rent, which we're very lucky to have. Mm-hmm. It's got all the infrastructure that we need. Our mares live together in a barn, so they have a very natural lifestyle.
That's lovely.
They go out together in the paddock. Obviously, the youngsters will be separated from their moms, and then they go into different camp. And then the older colts, before they come through to the centre, also have to be separated. Particularly now, when there's ladies that are sort of looking for husbands, some of them are soliciting a little bit.
Oh dear!
one of our other riders said to me the other day, "Are you going back to the red light district? Because it just seems to be like that at the moment. There's lots of hormones flying around. You've got to be quite aware."
Oh goodness.
Because what we often do is when we've got younger colts is we can tease the mares, we call it, just to see if they're ready for breeding.
Yes.
And we use our younger boys because it's easier for us, rather than bringing a stallion all the way from the centre. And then if the mare's not ready, he's going to be very frustrated and it's going to be very difficult to persuade him to get back in the horse box without having done anything. but we did that the other day. One of the young horses had teased the mare in the morning and we brought out her stallion for her.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was done all nicely and everything. Right. And we were taking her back to the paddock. And this little colt broke out of the paddock and chased her because he was like, that's my wife. I'm going after her. Thank you very much. So I had the groom running with the mare to get her behind a gate before that. And then try to catch this poor little boy.
Oh, shame.
But he consequently, he's actually had a wife of his own.
Oh,
but,
wonderful.
Yeah, so we at least gave him that advantage. We breed the stallions, you know, as 3.5-year-olds if they're very promising. The two we have right now are absolutely stunning.
Mm.
And I need their bloodlines. That's the thing. We've got 6 bloodlines and some of them are very rare.
Okay.
We've only got 2 breeding Neapolitano stallions, for instance.
Okay.
I only breed one of them. The other one is not quite what we want to breed.
Okay.
And I've got 2 young colts coming up. So all of those boys are very, very precious, not just from a training point of view, but also from their bloodlines. We need to continue those bloodlines in South Africa. And our dream would be one day to actually import mares and then semen from overseas that we could continue and widen our gene pool.
It.
Because, of course, you know, having had horses for a short time in South Africa, relatively short time, the gene pool is not
limited.
Very big.
Yeah.
So how did the original bloodlines work? Is it from the original stallions or groups or what...
The 6 bloodlines were all the original stallions, starting from the 15th century and then going through. The last one was actually introduced in 1810, which is the Siglavi line. And all of those different stallion lines were put together to develop the Lipizzana as a nobleman's horse initially and then as a war horse. Because, like Bron said, they've got a very, very good work ethic.
Okay.
In fact, the mares, I've always read, are more difficult than the stallions. The stallions are very willing to work. The mares are a little bit more stroppy. They've got interesting temperament, should we say, sometimes. But, you know, they, at this stage, people ask us, can you train the mares? And in a lot of countries, they do make them do dressage.
Okay.
They can jump as well. People don't realize that. But, of course, because of the capriole and stuff, they're very supple. So why not?
True.
They're very good driving horses. But we just don't have enough of them to really... do anything else with them. And besides, we couldn't exactly have them with our stallions because the stallions would never think if the mares were there at the same time.
Yes. Oh, well, this is fascinating. I'm really enjoying this. I think what we're going to do is we're going to have a little music break now, and then when we're back, we will carry on and we will also talk about the Angelfish Award.
This is CliffCentral.com. I'm only happy when it rains. Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Animal Central. That was Garbage with Only Happy When It Rains, because we are going to be speaking about the rain and the lack thereof shortly. So, Judy, I just want to get back to the Lippies. How do you get your funding and how do you exist? Because I understand you're a non-profit organization, right?
Ainsley, it's not easy. Mm. When we took over in... January 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Very sadly, we inherited an organization that was going to be closed down. and the horses were going to be evicted. I think it's the scariest year I've ever had in my whole life.
I didn't realise that.
We inherited 1.5 million rands worth of debt. The landlord hadn't been paid rent for 8 months. We had food for the horses for 2 weeks. And it was a dreadful thing. We were then four directors. And just to add a bit of fun into the proceedings, because we had to smile in that year, otherwise we'd have gone mad.
Doolally,
we sat under the big tree in the courtyard with several bottles of wine.
Well done.
And said, we are going to do this.
Good.
How are we going to do this?
Wow.
And for 3.5 years, we sorted everything out. Mm. We put processes and procedures together. Mm. And in answer to how we keep going and how we find revenue, is I come from a corporate marketing background, mm-hmm. and the first thing I did was to put a sponsorship proposal together and run around to all the big corporates who have ever been involved with horses, who might be involved in horses. Mm-hmm. But sadly, South Africa is not a horse-orientated sport sponsorship opportunity. Yes. It's more people who play football and rugby and soccer and all these kind of things. So then my co-director at that time, Lillian Moller, had a very wonderful idea. And she said, if we can't get a big overall named corporate sponsor, let's think about sponsoring each individual horse.
Oh.
So we have a sponsorship program where you can, quote, adopt, unquote, a stallion for a year.
Oh, wow.
And you get certain benefits of that. You get a framed photograph to put up in your office. You get your name on his stable sign at every show.
Oh, lovely.
You get automatic membership of the Friends of the Lipizzanas with special badges, special newsletters and discounts at shows.
Mm.
And at the present moment in time, we've probably got 75% of the horses at the centre sponsored.
Oh, wow.
And probably about 60% at the stud farm.
Oh,
so that's one source of income. We ask for sponsorship for a minimum period of a year, so we have some kind of continuity. And we have sponsors who have actually, Ainsley, continued for 3, 4, 5 years.
Oh, wow.
And when we say, would you like to renew your sponsorship next year? They say to us, of course, it's my horse. So they're now part of our wonderful Lipizzana family.
Brilliant.
Secondly, we have income through the shows. Ticket money through the shows and through CompuTicket. Thirdly, we have income through our Lipizzana shop.
Okay.
So when you come to a show, you can buy Lipizzana logoed T-shirts for adults and for children.
Oh, brilliant.
And DVDs and bookmarks and videos and all these kind of things. So that's another revenue for our shop. Also, we take the horses out. So if a client wants a show in Cape Town or Durban or round the corner, we give them a quote. Or if they want a horse for a wedding.
Oh, wow.
This year, or should I say last year in 2015, we did a magnificent performance to 1,500 people at Shongweni Club in KwaZulu-Natal.
Sure.
We did an amazing show in the magnificent Afridone Parais with the Welsh Malboys Choir. We performed at the opening of the brand new Steyn City Equestrian Centre.
Oh, wonderful.
In Four Ways. We performed for Edith Fenter at the Pink Polo fundraiser at Inanda Club, where all the riders dressed up in pink and the Lipizzanas had pink bandages
and
things like that. Or we can very simply bring a white horse to a wedding.
Okay.
So this is available for product launches, weddings, recognition events or whatever. Or we can do spectacular events at the Lipizzana Centre itself.
Private events?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Our Lipizzana Ball happens every November, is our biggest fundraiser for the safety and welfare of the horses. Black Tie Affair, gourmet catering, and the horses do a display inside the ballroom.
Oh, wow.
Up close and personal to the horses.
Oh, that's amazing.
So that's some of the ways we keep money flowing in.
Okay.
But horses are expensive to keep.
Yes.
And as my friends Karen and Kerry, who are coming on to talk about water, will tell you, the water shortage has affected the grass that we get for our horses.
Mm-hmm.
So now we are paying a fortune to get grass to feed our wonderful horses. So it's a very delicate balance every month, and we are always looking for a long-term corporate sponsor for a minimum period of 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
that it can be a named sponsor. So it can be the, I'll quote your radio station, the cliffcentral.com South African Lipizzana team.
Oh, how does that
And then
sound?
All the branding and association that goes with that.
So, oh, that's wonderful.
So that in as a nutshell. And people give us donations.
Okay.
People come and sponsor shampoo. You talked about the horses being nice and white. Every Saturday before the show, they are shampooed.
And that costs money.
So they
money.
Get all nice and white. And we have very many people who sponsor lots of other lovely things as well. Oh, so that in a nutshell is is the financial
and
side
And how do
of
people
it.
Get hold of you if they are interested in sponsoring the...
We have a wonderful website.
Okay.
www.lipizzanas.co.za. One P, two Zs.
Perfect.
So and you will find all the information and all the contact numbers on our website.
Brilliant. I think, listeners, it's such an amazing cause, and the ladies here, Judy and Bronwyn and Marina, do such wonderful work there, and I think I would like all of you to support them as much as possible. And if you haven't seen the Lipizzanas, you are missing out. You need to go and see them, especially now with the bargain prices discount on. So thank you so much, ladies. It's been wonderful to have you. They're not gone completely yet. They're still in the studio, because now... I have the lovely Karen Keller and Kerry Biley in studio with me. They are my angelfish of the week.
Oh, wow.
I haven't made a trophy yet, but it's a work in progress. But you ladies are so inspiring. You are... Basically, they single-handedly have started a huge movement, which I think they're slightly regretting now. But they've really stood up to the fact that we are in a huge drought in this country, and there are areas of this country where there is no water. And they have single-handedly started collecting water and taking it to these areas to get to horses, people, animals, and even more than that. So I understand you finally got a name for your movement.
yes. It's H2 horses and heels.
Oh, it's brilliant.
So it's a little bit tricky to say.
Yes.
But yeah, the name is not important.
Okay.
The important thing is that the kind and generous people of the horsey world, the Minka Manure Belt, have dug deep and they have sponsored trucks and water and help make this a reality.
It's
and
amazing.
How
did you first become aware of that there were people or animals in need?
On Friday morning, I was sort of saw a photo on Facebook.
Okay.
Of a drought, a starving cow, and so I just had the thought that I can't bear to see animals suffering.
Yes.
Any animals.
Yeah.
And my first thing, I've got to do something. I've got to help. This was Friday morning at about 8 o'clock, and I just decided I have to do something. I phoned Kerry and I said, Kerry, I am going tomorrow to take water to the horses. There is a lady, Robin Wilkinson, who has done a trip.
Okay.
I managed to get in contact with her and said, where do we need to get water to? What do we need to do? So she said, no, they've been to Senekal on the Wednesday and they've taken water. The people there need water.
Okay.
So within 12 hours, we managed to get 2,500 liters of water.
That's amazing. I've got goosebumps.
It was
amazing.
Incredible. People just started dropping off 2 liters.
Wow.
And then as the word spread through the day, they got to 5-liter containers. And then by the end of the day, we were collecting 25-liter containers.
That's amazing.
We were packing them until about 8 that night into my horse box. And I did realize, having towed horses around the countryside, that towing water in a two berth was going to be a bit like towing two wild horses in the back of a box.
I can imagine.
So the water has a momentum of its own.
Ooh.
So it took a little bit of skill and understanding the braking and turning.
That's terrifying.
So anyway, we packed the box the night before and we managed to even squeeze in 12 barrels of Tef on top of the water, because the water we needed to keep low. We couldn't pack it too high. It would be a risk on the road.
Okay.
And then 5:15 the next morning, off I went.
Sure.
Not knowing quite where I was going until I was on the road. But we headed for Frauenstadt.
Okay.
And then from Frauenstadt, I got directions to get to Senekal, because that's where the water was needed. So off we went to Senekal, to the community center there, where The people were queuing for water.
Okay.
They'd started the community centre and the people there had started collecting Coke bottles and were delivering Coke bottles. Oh, and the farmers were also delivering water to the townsfolk who needed water. If you can imagine living for a day without water.
No, I can't.
They had lived for a week without water.
Oh, that's dreadful.
So every child, adult, Durmany, school was standing there in queues to collect their water, and the 2 liter Coke bottle seemed quite handy because it's what people could carry.
Yes,
children
true.
Could carry.
Okay,
so it became a logistic of running out of bottles.
Okay,
and how to transport the water. So the fact that most of our water was in 2 liter bottles,
yes.
It was really good, already decanted for people to pick up and
that's clever.
And take with them. The people were so grateful.
Oh, man.
And we saw from six-year-old children to elderly ladies walking down the street with a walking stick to come and collect her water. Yeah. So it started off, I wanted to save the animals.
Yeah.
And I got there, I realized the people needed saving.
Yeah.
They needed water.
Yeah.
And if we didn't give the people water, the animals weren't going to get any either.
Exactly. Oh, so Kiri, you've been handling, yes, round of applause, definitely, definitely well deserved. So Kiri, you've been handling the sort of the social media and the logistics, because it's turned into a bit of a logistical thing.
Ainsley, it has, can I tell you, the entire Kyle Army, I don't want to say Kyle Army, the Gauteng horsey community has mobilized.
That's amazing.
It has been quite... I tell you, we've been in tears often.
Oh, I can imagine.
People have been phoning, volunteering their trucks. I mean, just to give an example, Domini and Karen Alexander sent a truck down yesterday.
Oh, really?
out of the goodness of their heart.
Yeah.
It was loaded with grass, loaded with water. Domini and his son and one of their clients went down and they offloaded themselves.
Oh, wow.
Other clients have also come to the party. And the trucks are going down in their droves. It's quite heartwarming.
That is amazing.
Of course, social media has gone mad.
Yes.
It's actually become too big for us to handle it on our own.
Yeah.
So we've met with Highveld Horse Care.
Okay, brilliant.
They are an organization in the Gauteng area that go out and help horses and do a fantastic job.
Yeah.
They, of course, have all the logistics that can help us. They've got all the charity numbers, et cetera, et cetera. So the money that's being donated is now going into their account.
Okay.
They're ring-fencing it for us.
Brilliant.
For the Free State horses, and they're going to advise us on how best to help.
Okay.
It has been amazing. I mean, I was joking with the lady from Highveld Horse Care yesterday, you know, this is what putting one skinny cow on Facebook can do.
Yeah.
It has caused a movement. It is quite phenomenal. And I mean, starting with Karen saying she has to go and help the community.
Yes. Yeah.
She's going to get in her car and go take water.
That's amazing.
If I can tell you, there's 16,000 liter tankers going down.
Oh, wow.
21,000 liter tankers going down.
Sure.
I've mentioned Karen and Domini Alexander. I can tell you everyone in the horsey community has come to the party. Everyone.
I love this story because within the animal community, often people are they're quite cruel to horsey people. And they always say, like, oh, the horsey people this, the horsey people that. But I mean, look at what, if I compare it to some of the dog people, all they do is sit and moan and complain on Facebook and they don't actually do anything to fix it. Whereas you've taken one instance and look, you've actually done something. And if every person did their little bit, imagine how we could change this world. And this is a completely, Karen, it's a completely perfect example. You just did something.
You know what was so exciting for me is to meet the people of the Free State. You know, I even learned to speak a few words of Afrikaans. Was quite a good one for me. So I said a lot of that. And the horses there are also truly amazing that they have survived.
Yes.
And how they've adapted to that harsh, harsh conditions that we saw them in.
Yes.
And people do come first.
Yeah.
But at the end of, every halter is a person.
Yeah.
And without that person helping the horse, that's what I've realized. I went really to help horses.
Yes.
My love and my passion is horses.
Yeah.
And it turned around for me
that's
how I
amazing.
Felt. Yeah, and the next good thing is the Kyal Army, or I should say the Gauteng horse people. Mm. How generous they've been is truly amazing.
Unbelievable.
Everyone is pulled together, and I think it's a shared passion and love.
Yes.
The latest development is that school children are collecting. So each child from various schools is bringing a 2-liter Coke bottle to school tomorrow.
Oh, man.
And we're hoping to get Adopt a School. Because
yes.
One of the people we met in Senegal, in a little, I think it's a half-ton bucky.
Yes.
A little Corsa
yes.
light.
Yeah.
So he was one of the teachers at the school.
Okay.
And they said they use 2,500 liters a day. They're reusing their washing water. So in other words, when they wash their clothes, they're taking that same water and rewashing. So he was loading his little bucky until it was, the chassis was on the concrete to take water to the school.
Oh, man.
So now the schools have got an awareness, which I think is absolutely amazing, that each child is aware of the value of
yes.
2 liters of water.
And that's what's so important. You know, people don't... It's not a luxury, it's a necessity, but you don't think, and I mean, yes, we all deal with our electricity, that happens a lot, and we can cope, but just contemplate, and your, like, listeners, just think about what you would do if you had no water for one day. The slight, not even the fact of the thirst, it's, we are so dependent on water, animals as well. I mean, horses, how much water does a horse need per day?
Minimum 25 liters a day.
Exactly. You know, it's and you can't survive without water for a very long time. So it's, and also the knock-on effect is that you can't grow grass without water, and animals eat grass. And now what I've found so amazing is, so the horsey community has really rallied with this, and they're being so generous, but it may actually be at the cost, at their cost, because, you know, I'm involved with Hollyberry, and we're struggling to get grass. So the people who own the horses in Joburg are struggling to get grass. The water, Kerry,
Ainsley, we've come through a very hard time where we are battling to get grass for our horses as a horsey community.
Yes.
Grass prices are extortionate.
Yeah. Yep.
So yes, people are, it's not that everything is hunky-dory and everything is sweet and fabulous. But they're in hard times too.
Yeah.
And despite this, they're still giving.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
No, it's amazing. And it's so, you know, this is definitely not the end of it. This drought is very, very serious. I don't think any of us realized how serious it was until you're starting to see the stories and hear the stories that are coming out. So which areas have you heard that are most affected?
So I started the trip on Saturday, and we went to Senegal.
Okay.
And that was really hard hit. And then on Sunday, we left again, and we went to Valcombe and some towns near Valcombe. Brantford was very hard hit. Windhoek had no water. Those are the sort of towns we went to. There's many more, but I've forgotten. There are towns that are really hard hit, and obviously some of the farmers still have boreholes.
Okay.
And they were supplying, but what there is no grazing.
Yes.
There are not a blade of grass in the paddocks. And there's no teff for them. So we went to a couple of stables that they didn't have a bale of teff left. So yeah, it's pretty dire, and I don't think it's going to get better in a hurry.
No.
And I think we need to find sustainable ways to carry this forward. We've had a glimpse, we've been at the coalface, and I think we have to change our thinking.
Okay.
And this whole movement will change to something where it's sustainable, and that's the big thing. And I think it will lead to long-term education of
Brilliant.
People. I think that's what's needed. So we've done crisis control,
yes,
but it's got to change. And obviously we need people that are far more intelligent than I am to work out how we're going to do that. Maybe growing different kinds of grasses or feeding our horses differently or conserving better what we do have and being more aware.
I think that's a very important conversation that needs to happen. And have you had any response or interest from any governmental side of things? That would be a no. I always ask because I'm naively hopeful. I'm going to be having a geologist on the show in, I think, a week or two's time, actually speaking about this drought. She's quite an expert on it, and she's, because I really want to try and unpack, you know, the whole thing. And I think the government, I don't think that they've handled this appropriately. I don't think that they've warned people, or they, you know, it's difficult because it is a very widespread problem. But yeah, we're in for a very tough time with this drought.
The silence is amazing, but I still think that we have good people here. And yes, if the government is not capable, why don't we as individuals?
But that's it. And this is why so, I'm so heartened by this.
I don't
this.
Think we can wait for government
exactly.
help. I think we have to
and
learn to help ourselves and work as a team.
Exactly. So going forward, what can we do? What can I do? I mean, we've got a truck on standby. We've also got Lucerne,
Johan has volunteered his truck as well. There are links going down literally every day.
Brilliant.
You know, as Karen intimated, we have to find a way that is sustainable as well.
Yeah.
We are in a crisis situation. Mm-hmm. We are going to get into a crisis situation in Gauteng as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be very, very mindful of that.
Yeah.
You know, water is in short supply. We have in Gauteng at the moment. We may not have soon. So we need to be mindful of that too.
Yeah.
So that's also why Highveld Horse Care have come in and on board with us.
Okay.
Because a lot of education also has to happen out that end of the world. So they're going to guide us. They're going to help us. It evolves every day. This has been going for 5 days now with Karen and I.
Yeah.
So it's fledgling.
And you ladies have made such a difference already. It's amazing.
What can I tell you? The horsey community has made such a difference.
Yeah.
That is what has happened.
It's certainly not us. It wasn't us.
No, well, you've definitely been the catalyst for it. So you can definitely...
And now there's awareness. And that is the key, awareness.
So can people... Would it be best for people to contact Highveld Horse Care? How are we handling it from here?
It's all up on Facebook. It's being splashed everywhere.
Okay.
You can go onto the Highveld Horse Care website.
Okay.
You can get their account details. What they've asked is please just, when you do a reference, say Free State and your name, just so that they can ring fence it for this project.
And listeners, you can do your bit by watching every single drop of water that you use in your house. A dripping tap, I can lose my marbles when I see dripping taps. You don't know how much water you're wasting. You know, brushing your teeth, exactly. Turn off the tap while you're brushing your teeth. Even the good old thing, if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. So,
put a brick in the cistern.
Exactly. There's so many things to do, but we'll chat about that in a show coming up. I want to thank each and every one of you lovely horsey ladies. From an honorary horsey lady who's going to get on a horse this afternoon.
Good luck.
Good luck.
I'll need it.
Pictures, please.
No. Me and Jodhpurs, it's not, no photos, thank you. But thank you all so much. And listeners, I'll be back next week.
This is CliffCentral.com.